The Buffy Star Wars crossover AU that I will never, ever write. An oral notfic by Rena Jenkins.
And a tiny little bit by Cantarina. And, you know, if someone was like, what's one thing you associate with Rena Jenkins? Right now I would say Star Wars, for obvious reasons.
Yes, okay.
But, like, the answer that will, like, outlast every fandom that you wander through is crossovers.
I just like it so much. I have this deep and abiding desire for a Buffy Star Wars crossover where if I knew how to write words in a sentence that made sense and made other people want to read them. Otherwise, you know, whatever. I'll not think this right now. Let me tell you about this story. Buffy, having just did her whole I just killed my boyfriend by stabbing him and sending him into a portal to hell, and I'm like 18 years old and not sure what's going on in my life, and I've run away to Los Angeles, and oh look, here is another portal to hell with this guy who's sending all of the Los Angeles teens through the portal to hell, and time flows differently, and I have to do my impression of Gandhi when he was very, very angry, that episode of Buffy. Not like the Gift episode of Buffy where everything is sad and angsty. So early, like, season two of Buffy, where yep. It's still a little bit, she's not totally 100% crushed by everything in her entire life forever. So there's that hell portal in Los Angeles where the homeless teens are showing up super old, like, 2 days after they go missing.
Yeah.
And then Buffy goes through and she fights the demon and then she rescues and saves the day. But in this universe, Buffy goes through that portal, she saves the day, she gets people out, but she's stuck. And it turns out they weren't demons. It was an interdimensional portal, and now she's stuck in the Star Wars galaxy. They're not demons, they're aliens, and she ends up on Corellia, because that is basically the Los Angeles of Star Wars outer space. Like, the area, neighborhood of Los Angeles that she was in. And Buffy has this whole big, well, what the hell? Every single being here has weird facial protrusions and skin in colors not usually associated with humans, and like tentacles and extra eyeballs on stalks. What's going on? Am I in a hell dimension? But her Slayer sense is not tingling. So she has to have like this whole mental adjustment of like, they look like demons, but the knee jerk is saying that they're not actually demons. But because she's basically landed in the criminal underworld, she isn't really very sure how to get home, because Audibesh does not read like English, and that's what all the language is written in, and you know. So Buffy falls in with a fight club or something, because she's got super strength, and people are like, oh, okay, there are humans out here. Humans have a certain limit when compared to other, you know, near-human or non-human species. Let's put her in a ring, she's a tiny small child, and make her fight things for money. Which is how Buffy, if being in her fight club whatever, runs into the notorious gambler, Lando Calrissian.
Oh, and I'm awesome into it.
She is... I'm not sure if he flirts with her and she's like, whatever, or if she flirts with him because he's wearing a cape or what, but there is definitely some flirting that happens. And then because Lando at this point in his life is definitely more on the criminal side of things and definitely less of the civil servant side of things, that's how she ends up in touch. Oh, wait, hang on. Okay, this is better. All right, Lando is a gambler. He is gambling on these fight club things. He also introduces Buffy to other, you know, here's like the high stakes table, which is how, where he lost the Millennium Falcon to Han Solo in a game of Corellian Spike. The stupid fucking gold dice hanging from the rearview mirror. I love it. So basically, Buffy lands in Corellia, she ends up in the criminal underworld, and then through a series of exciting circumstances that I don't know how to write, ends up as a space pilot on the Millennium Falcon.
Nice.
Yes, they have adventures. And it's just like, it's a lot of like, they look like demons, but they're not. What good is my gift? Darkness is my gift. But she hasn't had that, like, speech yet, because she hasn't really the first hasn't happened. This is, like, early seasons Buffy. Yeah. She just has, like, prophecy girl, death is my gift feelings. But she's still not, like, 100% soul destroyed, everything forever is terrible, like the end of season 6. so, it's Buffy coming to terms with, like, who she is in a world where her, you know, demon-slaying powers aren't really...
There are no demons to slay.
Exactly. And I just like the idea of Buffy Summers space pilot.
And honestly, of course, though, yes.
Yes. Somebody gives her shit for her name being Buffy. And she's like, your name is literally Wedge. Mr. Antilles, sit yourself down.
Where I come from, I wear you like shoes.
Yes. Yes, the 70s called, they want their porn stash back, and he has no context for any of that sentence.
I'm getting, like, John Crichton Lost Far Away vibes. Just load on pop culture references, because no one else is going to get them.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I just really like it a lot. Either that or, like, Buffy ends up being, like, some kind of space bounty hunter, and she's perpetually, running into, and she and Boba Fett are perpetually sniping each other's bounties, and I want that story a lot too. Or even like Princess Leia as a bounty hunter, perpetually sniping bounties from Boba Fett.
Okay, but she and Princess Leia being rival bounty hunters.
That's even better. Oh, that's beautiful. Look, she has to afford...
I really love Poye Femme Slash, so yes, let's do it.
I would be here 800% for that. The Rebellion doesn't exactly have a lot of money, so they have to finance their, shenanigans somehow. And Buffy doesn't have legal papers that ID her as, you know, a citizen of the galaxy, so she's taken slightly off the table kind of jobs. And like at first, because I feel like somebody's got to be wearing like a Mandalorian helmet, because I think that's amazing. Uh-huh. And Leia's wearing the Bosch or Boosh or whatever, however you pronounce that guy's name, I can't remember, helmet from when she rescues Han from Jabba's palace. And there is like mistaken identity, I'm not sure who you are, but I'm admiring your competence, and at the same time, I kind of want to kick you in the shins a little bit.
Oh, those two would have, like, such a confidence off.
Yes. It would be delightful.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
How does Buffy's slayeriness read in the Force?
Oh, you're good. Okay. It's not like she has an affinity for magic, is the thing.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't make her a Force user, but there's clearly something about her.
Right. Because the Slayer powers are a magically sort of crafted set of powers that we know from, like, Buffy canon, that the original Watchers did that to a girl and she didn't ask for it. So it's going to read as
it's a Force,
like she's carrying. I want it to read like she's carrying a Force artifact.
Or she is a Force artifact.
Yes, even better. She feels like a holocron, which is an echo or an imprint of a person, but not an actual person.
Wow, I didn't know that's what a holocron was, and that just made a couple of fics a lot more painful.
Because sometimes it's like, it's just a data cube or whatever, it's just like, here's a bunch of recordings stored on a holocron, but sometimes a holocron is like, here is my impression of myself saved to this as sort of a semi-immortality. Like, Sith holocrons, you can interact with them like they're people, because they're like a piece of that person.
Because Siths don't mind peeling off parts of their soul.
Right. They're like Riddle's diary, Horcrux level kind of soul preservation.
Well, Welp.
Yes, so Buffy feels like that in the Force.
That's cool. I like that a lot.
Except that, like, I feel like that would be good for hiding and sneaking and stuff, because people who have, like, limited Force sensitivity might not really see her as a full, like, being to be threatened of. But fully trained Force users are going to notice that there's something weird there, because she doesn't register as a full person.
So who's the fully trained Force user who comes across her?
Quinlan Vos.
Oh, it is Quinlan! Yes!
Alright. Oh, hang on. Let's check our timelines on this. Han is like 9 when the Empire goes down.
Yeah.
So this is pre-rebellion, but definitely post-Order 66. So this is a universe where Quinn survives and also Ayla survives. Ayla had her mindfuckery episode that was in the comics and things were bad, but because she had amnesia, she didn't remember she was a Jedi, and so she wasn't in the temple to get murdered by her own clones. There we go. That's how she got around this. And then Quinlan was like, I have to go search for my, you know, former Padawan, now knight, and eventually he helps her undo the amnesia, and then they go off to fight the Empire how they can. They're not part of the Resistance or the Rebellion because, yeah, not the Resistance, we're too early for the Resistance. They're not part of the Rebellion because, let's just say that Order 66 has soured the idea of organizational government for them.
Imagine that.
So, like, they're like space pirates who go in and save Force-sensitive children before the Inquisitors can get to them.
Oh, that hits me right in the heart.
Yes. So there's a bounty on... Ah, damn it. Who is another person that's Force-sensitive? I don't know enough about Rebels. Ezra Bridger?
I don't know why. I haven't seen it yet.
Ezra and Kanan, right? Kanan used to be Caleb, who was Mace Windu's grand Padawan, and then... shit went down and he barely escaped with his life, and that's why he has a fake name. Ezra is a orphan with Force sensitivity, and Kanan is teaching him how to be a Jedi without calling himself a Jedi, I think. Uh-huh. I think is what's happening in Rebels. I haven't actually seen it yet. So let's call this a unique interpretation in the AU. So there's a bounty on some Force sensitive that has escaped the Inquisitors. And maybe Buffy doesn't 100% understand, like, what the Force is. And she's thinking it's more like a magic user.
Yeah, she would never turn in, like, a kid to the Empire.
Right. So, from the,
you honestly, know, she would probably get involved with the Resistance, like, as soon as she discovered it was a thing.
Yes.
If not, like, actively be resisting it, and that's how she finds them.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. I feel like the listing for, like, bring this person in, dead or alive, is, like, super vague, but also, like, a lot of money, so she thinks they're, like, some sort of, you know, like, you know, words. Like, Dark Willow type person.
Right.
So she's thinking...
Dark Willow, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that yet.
Maybe we never will in this verse.
Nice! Nobody, Tara doesn't die. That's good.
I'm all for that.
In a universe where Buffy Summers never graduated high school, Tara McClay lives.
Obviously, Buffy would be fine with that trade-off.
I think so.
What do I need high school for? All I need to know is how to stab things.
Yes, it's great. Stabbing. But not even. She has blasters now.
True. Do you think she still carries a stick?
Yes.
I guess there's no vampires in this world, though. But or is it just like a weird comfort thing?
Weird comfort thing slash people don't look for hand-to-hand weapons as much in this universe.
No, they really wouldn't.
So it's like her, you know, Padme's got that holdout blaster. Buffy's got a holdout stabber.
Sure.
But, like, it really is. It's a lot of laser swords and laser blasters. And, okay, a lightsaber is more of a, you know, up-close weapon rather than a blaster's ranged weapon. But if you can deflect actual laser beams with your laser sword, then that makes it a ranged weapon. It allows you to throw them right back at your attacker far away.
Yeah.
So when it comes to hand-to-hand close combat, a lot of times people are looking straight. Like, it seems like the way fight choreography happens in this universe, hand-to-hand stuff is just literally hand-to-hand. It's not like, let me take out my knife and my, you know, crowbar and stuff.
Yeah.
So people wouldn't be expecting that on Buffy. And she's never one to want that extra, to let go of that extra advantage.
No, she's not.
So I feel like Buffy is going after this bounty thinking she's doing, like, a favor for the universe because taking out a dark magic user, because that's her sort of interpretation of the Force. Because if she's coming in during the Empire's reign and the Empire's got all this propaganda about how the Jedi are evil and she doesn't have context, like, I feel like she would notice that things are fishy because it's super heavy-handed, but she wouldn't have enough context at first to be able to not take these jobs.
Yeah.
So Buffy was...
She falls hard for the propaganda for a while.
Yes, because that's the only stuff that she is seeing, and she doesn't have enough history yet to figure out where it's wrong.
Yeah, okay.
So going for this job is where she intersects paths with Leia, who is going to kidnap this Force user and not turn them into the Empire.
Clearly. And little known, he is also a secret Force user.
Yes! Yes! Oh, Force user Leia makes me so happy. So happy. And then you've got Quinlan Vos and Aayla Secura, who are also looking for Force sensitives that they are trying to, you know, sneak away from the Empire. And that's how everybody, like, Comedy of Errors style, basically starts messing with everybody's plans.
Do Quinlan and Aayla know that Leia's Force-sensitive?
They don't know that Anakin is Vader.
No, but, like, could that be something, like,
Can they feel her?
Well, I guess she doesn't really skate. Like, if it were that easy to peg her, Vader would have pegged her as Force-sensitive. So maybe they don't know.
I think I haven't actually finished reading Bloodline yet, but there's something in there about how Leia had tutors that taught her meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Basically to hide her Force presence. That Leia because didn't know that it was...
Our very smart parents.
Yes, and they lied on her blood test, obviously. That's
well,
how the...
Clearly.
Yeah. But that Leia thought it was just like meditation, whatever, be calm of mind in order to process your emotions and whatever, but it was actually to, here's how you hide your Force presence behind shields. Because I feel like Leia in this time period is still a senator, right? So she can cover her interactions as being part of a, you know, mercy mission or a diplomatic whatever. So she is still maintaining her cover?
Yeah.
Like, at the one hand, I think Leia wearing the helmet and being super anonymous and, like, competent and everything is great. But also, I like the idea of Leia swanning in like, really fancy senatorial garb. And being like, excuse me, you're in the middle of my diplomatic, you know, ambassadorial blah, blah, blah. And, like, it throws off Buffy's shot or something. And she just keeps stepping in the way and just being like...
like, really improbably well.
Yes, yes. It's not, like, Buffy's like, is she deliberately being this obtuse? No, this is just general incompetence. But no, Leia is deliberately being, like, in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like, how would this go? Somebody would get kidnapped, and it wouldn't be the kid that they were after. Leia would get the kid. And then, like, Quinn and Ayla would try to kidnap Buffy, and Buffy would also try to kidnap, like, Quinn at the same time, and they've all kidnapped themselves.
Oh, no.
And it's, like, one of those moments where it's, like, standoff in the hold of a ship or something. And then, some like, Quinn makes some sort of wisecrack about how he's been successfully kidnapped by his own self twice before, or something like that.
Sounds like Quinn.
Yes. And then... Leia gets away with the kid, so the bounty goes to nobody because the kid doesn't get turned over to the Empire. And Buffy's a little annoyed because, you know, rent and shoes and blaster packs. And she could use that.
At some point during all of this, someone looks at Buffy and is like, "How have you not figured out this is an evil fascist regime?"
Yes, yes.
Like, someone is just like, how do you not, how can you be this naive? You grew up here, even though she hasn't.
Yes. Because she'd be of an age to have been around when the Jedi fell. And
yeah, so the Empire rose. Probably, like, thinks she's just, like, a callous asshole. But, like, she keeps saying things that don't quite add up until someone is like, wait a minute.
Do you live under a rock? Well... I fell through a hole in the ceiling one time.
Only once, Buffy?
And then... I don't know, because I want her to be space pirates with Han and Chewie, but I also want her to be, like, freedom fighter space pilots with Quinn and Ayla. And then I also want her to be an independent space pilot / pirate who keeps, like, dogging the steps of this other mysterious bounty hunter who is Leia. And then they, like, have to make out because Imperial agents.
I think we can rule that these are three different stories.
Oh. So, yeah, that's where we are. Buffy Summers falls through an intergalactic portal in a sketchy community center in Los Angeles, fights some aliens, ends up in an alien fight club, runs into some friends who are on the wrong side of the wall. There's no walls, it's outer space. And meets Lando Calrissian and Han Solo and Chewbacca and has adventures fighting space pirates, being a space pirate, being a bounty hunter, possibly making out with both Quinlan Vos and Ayla Secura, possibly making out with Princess Leia. If you wanted to make any of these things happen in real life with real text and real words and real sentences, I would give you so many internet high fives. Pretty please, take these plot bunnies. They are yours. Just imagine Buffy Summers wearing Beskar again, shooting people like a boss. It'd be amazing. The end. Oh, we're so good at this.
We're great at this. This was so much fun.